paramedic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the chase for the cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Brandon Bigsby here with you on this Tuesday morning. We are presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. For homes and businesses that want to stand out, not blend in, visit greenventureslandscaping.com. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We got the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up later this hour on the program, taking your thoughts all show long at 615-737-1025. The NHL draft lottery is today. We will get into that here in just a few minutes here on the program. But, Joe, we talked a lot yesterday about the Predators, the search for a general manager, the ongoing search for the general manager. And you have thrown this out there, which I'm very excited to hear where you're going with this. The most important question that must be answered about the Preds and their personnel history. So I turn the floor over to you, Joe Rexroad. Where are we going with this? What is the most important question that must be answered about the Preds and their personnel history?
Sorry, I'm distracted by the Fiesta Out that I'm watching on. Have you seen the Fiesta Out?
I've seen it.
It's kind of sweet.
Yeah.
The
Down
Fiesta
there in San
Out
Antonio?
Is kind of sweet, San Antonio, but it looks like they...
There's a lot going on there.
I was asleep well before this game. Yes, back to hockey. The most important question, this is by the new GM, to me, is this. Have the failures, and there's no question. I don't think, objectively speaking, this organization has, since its inception, failed to identify, acquire, and develop forwards well enough to play at a championship level. They've done championship level work in the areas of defensemen and goaltenders. We agree on this? Like, this is something we can all agree on, right?
Yes. I would say it's been a while since the defensemen, but yes.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's true. But historically, though, the entire history of the organization. So the question with the new GM is that the function of some kind of blind spot? And I know that the eras have changed, styles in the league have changed, but still, is there a consistent blind spot in some sort of process, or is that really just because David Poile has ignored the advice at times, has just gone with his gut and made mistakes? Is it a Poile thing, the decision maker at the top, just having some miscalculations, which everybody does. Every GM misses on some of these things.
Sure.
Or is it that the entire process of identifying from the start is flawed in some way? Because the new GM, again, if it's the former, then I think there needs to be more upheaval, more blowing it up, as opposed to if it's more just about the individual at the top of the pyramid. Okay, well then the process is sound. The process is fine. Yeah, you're still going to make some changes. You're going to make some changes in scouting and maybe with your top people, but you have some people here that you can also keep. But I'll just be better. That's the new GM talking.
Well, it's interesting to me when you look at, we're coming up on 30 years as an organization for the Predators. And in that time, the best forward in the history of their franchise is Forsberg, and he was developed by them. He was not drafted by them.
Right.
You trade for him when he's 18. So I do think you get credit for the development that took place. Because, you know, I watched the first game he played. He was here. He was kind of a skinny rail of a kid, and he put on some muscle, and he's turned into the player that he's turned into, which is a great player. He's not a like Hall of Fame level, you know, bona fide superstar forward. He's a really, really good forward. But he's, to me, unquestionably the best forward that they've had. It's interesting. You start to list off the most impactful forwards that they've had in franchise history. Like Paul Kariya was a free agent acquisition, and he was only here for 2 years, but he's a free agent acquisition. And people are going to throw out Peter Forsberg. Peter Forsberg was here for like 17 games. Like I'm not including him in this discussion. But Ryan Johansson, was, you traded for him, right? You brought him in. You know, James Neal, you traded for him. And one thing that Patrick Hornquist was a really good player for a long time. He was like the last pick in the draft. Like, so that part of it's interesting. But they've never really had a first round forward that they've drafted that for them has turned into like a franchise building block type of player.
What they were supposed to be.
Right. Like David Legwan was a good to decent player for a long period of time, but he's not what you think of when you think of number two overall pick in an NHL draft. Right? Like Scott Hartnell was a good player for a long time in the NHL, but he wasn't, you know, like some game changer out there. So it is kind of amazing, and I understand, like, you, in some cases, like, if you're a fan out there, if you're a member of the organization, you could say, well, yeah, we've never had those really, really high picks to have those guys. But it is kind of amazing that throughout almost 30 years, and for lack of a better phrase, you haven't even lucked into one of those guys, right? Like, in somewhere in the second round or first round. They did with Shea Weber. He's a defenseman. They did with Roman Josi, he's a defenseman.
Second round
players that have developed into, in one case, an actual Hall of Famer, and another case, a probable Hall of Famer coming up one day when he's done playing. But it just hasn't happened with forward. So I'm with you. Like, you got to figure out why that is if you're the next general manager. And that's got to be towards the forefront of your thinking. Because if you don't do that, like if you can't find those guys and develop those guys, you're never going to get where you want to go as an organization. Like you have to find some of those along the way.
Right. Like, you know, Alexander Radulov would be one of the better picks, right? I think 15th overall.
Yeah, and that was, it ended up being a total disaster from the standpoint of just the way it all played out with him. But a good player
in the playoffs. But yeah, okay, but that's still like that's a good. You know, you got Colin Wilson at 7 overall, you know? I mean, there was playoff Colin Wilson, I suppose. But you got Austin Watson, who ends up being a nice grinding forward for you for a stretch, but, like, you know, that's a first-round pick.
Yeah.
So is there a type that they, you know, is there a type that they overemphasize? You know, I've heard some people say, like, they just haven't valued, like, speed enough. You know, you get lucky with, like, a Victor Arvidsson.
Sure.
Right? Who you get in the fourth round. In the same draft that you took, I think, to me, the best choice was Kevin Fiala, who they got 11th in 2014. And within 2 years, I mean, he was a key part until he got hurt. He was a key part of a team that gets to the cup final, gets hurt in the second round. But that's the best choice, I think, of all of them.
And he's turned into a good player in the NHL. Like, he's not a – I wouldn't call him an elite player, but he's really good. But they need elite forwards at some point, right? And maybe Brady Martin's that guy. But at some point along the way here, if they're going to win a championship, it's just hard to do it without having – one or two of those elite guys. It's not impossible. Like, you know, the St. Louis team, I think, is a good example. Like, Ryan O'Reilly, I don't know that I would describe him as an elite forward, but he had an elite playoff run, right? Like, I mean, he put up 20-something points in the playoff that year and won the Conn Smythe.
That's pretty good.
Like, you know, it's – so there are other ways to do it, as we discussed yesterday, but it's really hard without those elite players – driving the bus.
Yeah. And to be fair, I think the the draft positioning discussion, to be fair to Poyle, is obviously that changes once you get good.
Sure.
10 years ago, they were good. So Ellie Tolvanen, you know, they get him 30th. Some idiot in the Tennessean, I forget, wrote that he was just going to be amazing from the start. You know, Tomasino is, you know, he's 24th in the 2019 draft.
He's a total bust.
You know?
Yeah.
Right. But like, at least, you know, and obviously then Svechkov is 19th.
Yeah.
So, you know, these guys are, and then Kemmel is 17th. And we'll still, you know, we're still waiting to see with those guys. I mean, I think those guys can both be good. Matthew Wood is 15th. And there's a lot of hope there, you know. But it's like, there's still like, year after year, you're trying to find these answers, and like, it's just, you know, like Martin has to be a star, and if he is, by the way, then the Trotz era is looked at a little bit differently. But he has to be, and Wood has to still take big strides from where he is, you know, or it's just over and over again. And you know, we'll see with Surin too. I mean, there's a lot of guys we still have to see on, but right now, you know. I think you could look at it and say, you know, no real sure things. And so
yeah.
It kind of continues the tradition.
Yeah, like Barry Trotz, when he got hired, talked about taking big swings, right? And, like, you know, I'm very intrigued by Surin. I think he's got a chance to be a good player. I'm interested to see what that looks like when the time comes where he gets to the NHL. We talked a lot about Martin. So there are guys that they have in the organization that I mean, even Wood, right? Like Wood, we saw last year. I mean, what is he? Like, what's the ceiling of what he is in the NHL? I don't know. I'm interested to see it. But I do think, and Martin's the guy I'm looking at for this, eventually you need to be talking about somebody leading your forward group who you don't get too far down the list in the NHL before you're like, yeah, that guy stacks up with some of the best players. I'm not saying they got to find Connor McDavid, because you're not going to. Like, you're not going to find Connor McDavid. You know, maybe at some point along the way you get lucky and you find the next Macklin Celebrini or something like that. But those guys, they just don't come around very often.
No.
So I'm not even saying it's got to be that. But something close, like, they never had anything close to that. Get something somewhat close to that, and then you're starting somewhere. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We will take your thoughts on the Predators, their history of drafting and developing forwards, and what's left to uncover for the next general manager about that history once that person is hired. We'll take more of your thoughts on that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Today, the Nashville Sounds start a 6-game road trip against Louisville. First pitch at 5:05. You can catch all the action on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Family Leisure and Social Cantina. Taking your thoughts on the Predators, 615-737-1025. Let's head to our phone line. Welcome in Dave to the program. Dave, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning. To put all of my comments into context, I have been a hockey fan since the early 1950s. I got to watch Gordie Howe, Terry Sawchuk, Alex Delvecchio, Ted Lindsay.
Production line!
Yeah, and I'm also the guy who at the Preds games has the full head saber-tooth tiger skull mask
now we're
that
talking.
I wear. And I have two questions. And the first question is, what are we actively doing vis-a-vis developing the picks that we get? The people that we bring in.
Okay.
What are we not doing is the second question, because we have a process that clearly has been successful in developing defensemen. We have not had a process that has been useful or productive in developing forwards, in particular centers.
Yeah.
I don't have answers. I'm not claiming to have some great insight as to what we should do. But I'm asking so that we can at least think through what is necessary to develop players that will fill the slots the way that we need them to. And I'll hang up and listen to you guys off air.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it. Well, it's a good question. I would say this. The defensemen, let's start there. So we would all agree the Predators have developed some really good defensemen in the history of their franchise. Whether you want to talk Shea Weber or Ryan Suter or Roman Josi, obviously. I mean, you can go Ekholm. I mean, the list is long.
They had a surplus. Like, Seth Jones, yeah, well, let's go get Ryan Johansson.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they, at one point, you looked at it and I'm like, well, Seth Jones can play 15 minutes a night, I guess, if he wants to get out there and exercise a little bit while Shea Weber and Roman Josi are handling all this stuff. Like, so they went through a stretch where, I mean, it was – so Weber got drafted in 03. Suter got drafted in 03. Josi got drafted, I think, in 08, somewhere around there. So, you know, you're talking 03, 08. Wasn't that long after that, Ellis got drafted, Ekholm got drafted. I mean, they went on a run where they were just hitting on defensemen. And that was both your high-level first-round picks. That was your second, third-round picks. Like, Ellis was a first-round pick. Suter was a first-round pick. Josi and Weber were both second-round picks. By the way, Kevin Klein, pretty good defenseman for the Predators for a while. He's a second-round pick. He was in that same draft with Weber and Suter. So, like, they went through a while where they were just nailing their defenseman picks. And the forward thing has been pretty consistent from the entire history of their organization, where they just haven't quite found that. Now, the thing I would add to that is, when's the last time they drafted and developed a really good defenseman? Yeah. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they've drafted Fabro, and it just, I mean, by the time he was done here, he was in and out of the lineup. Like, it didn't really work out all that great. They drafted Sam Girard, and he played here for about 5 minutes.
Moved him.
Then he was gone. So, and he's turned into a good player in the league. He's not a superstar by any means, but he's a good player.
Carrier's been good. Elsewhere.
And yeah, so like they've had some guys, but it's been a while since they drafted like a dynamic, really good defenseman.
Yeah.
So that's why I say they're in need of both right now. Like they, I mean, organizationally right now, they got a lot of forwards, so we'll see how many of them are any good. They need help on defense right now.
Sure. So, but like I would still look at the history and say again, if the GM, you know, new GM comes in and is, you know, largely keeping a lot of the same people in the process, I would still be optimistic that they'd figure that out. I still would have big questions about. And then it's also, you know, to Dave's, I think that's a good question too, is like, is it more just choosing or is it more the development process after choosing?
I mean, I think it's got to be both, right?
Yeah. Like
I'd
put more on choosing. That's just my guess.
I would put more on choosing too, but when it's been this long where you've had, I mean, look, we talked about the importance of highly drafted guys, and there are, like, you got to have some of those guys. Well, like, I mean, Nikita Kucherov was drafted like 59th overall. Like, Pavel Datsyuk for the Red Wings was drafted in like the 7th round or whatever it was. Like, it's, there are guys littered throughout organizations that you found later in drafts that have turned out to be superstar players. And the Predators have just never really had that guy. Like, they've never really had a guy that was a superstar player. Hornquist was probably the closest, but he wasn't a superstar. He's just a really good player that they found in the 7th round. It's in some ways, Joe, it's kind of amazing that they haven't lucked into that at some point along the way.
Right. Yeah, it is. I mean, it's like everything that can go wrong has gone wrong kind of thing. Either you just miss out on somebody or, yeah, you know, it's bad choices, bad luck, injuries in some cases, some of this is also when you were in that when you're in that time period after the Cup final run of bye.
Sure.
You know, so there's like the Fiala. You know, Fiala's here. It's a little bit different story, I think, over that time period. At least it's like you could point to that. Okay, so there's one.
Yeah.
But he was gone. You moved him. So, but it's obviously it's got to change. I will say when you talk about, you know, we have not talked about it. We haven't talked about him too much. I will say, you know, Porter Martone right now, people are watching him, and he had this one season at Michigan State. Riker Lee, man, I don't like, you know, you got to have a certain level of physicality and all that. And he's not, big and everything, but man, he might end up being a dude.
He's fun to watch.
I mean, we'll see. He's definitely a name to keep an eye on. I mean, he was a lot of fun to watch this year. He can do some stuff, you know. He can do some stuff that not a lot of people can do. So maybe they'll luck out with that one.
Maybe. I mean, he's listed at 6'1". I've stood next to him. I don't know that he's 6'1".
Yeah. Doesn't look 6'1".
But he's – that's kind of what I'm talking about. Like, he's a guy that you've got to find one of those guys that you draft that just hits. And, you know, we focus so much on Brady Martin – I mean, the Predators, you know, they did have three first-round picks last year. They had him, Brady Martin, you had Cam Reed, who's a defenseman who maybe he turns into one of those guys. And then Lee is he's a first-round pick, right? So, like, you need your first-round pick. You need a high hit rate on those. And I tell you what, Lee's fun to watch. I don't know exactly what the type of NHL player he's going to turn out to be. The puck handling skills and the creativity with the puck, I don't remember, and I've watched the Predators from the moment they set foot on the ice here. I don't remember a ton of prospects that have had like just the pure on skill level that he's got.
Yeah, that's exciting. And that's, again, so it'd be great for the new GM to have some things that happened before he got here to start to work out. Yeah. And again, that does... There is, I mean, look, all the mistakes happened and it didn't work out with Barry Trotz. That is something that puts a different spin on everything. Yep. If a couple of these guys do pop.
The NHL draft lottery is tonight, and the chances of landing the number one overall pick are not high for the Nashville Predators. But what if they do? How much of a franchise changing day is this if they do? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Today, Vanderbilt baseball taking on Louisville at Hawkins Field. First pitch at 5 o'clock. Catch all the action on 102.5 The Game. Coverage presented by Gary Force Acura. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. It is the NHL draft lottery tonight, Joe Rex wrote. The Predators currently slotted 10th. They have a 3.5% chance of landing the number one overall pick. So for reference, the New York Islanders, who won the number one overall pick last year with Matthew Schaefer, also had a 3.5% chance of winning the draft lottery. So it can happen. There is a chance. I would say the chances of back-to-back years, the team with 3.5% chance of winning the lottery, are very low, but there is a chance out there, Joe Rexroad. We'll see what happens.
Is that like 3.5% of 3.5%?
Could be.
I don't know. Is that how the math works
out? Could be how
someone
the math
tell
works
me.
Out.
Multiply them. Like 0.035 times 0.035?
They have to.
I don't know.
Vancouver.
Do you sine, cosine? What do we need here?
Vancouver has the top odds at 25.5%. You'll be happy to know. The Chicago Blackhawks are number two at 13.5.
Give them Gavin McKenna. Sure. At some point, maybe they'll win, be relevant.
I tell you, the
not suck.
Outside of the Predators, the team that I would be most intrigued to see him go to would be Florida, who has a 6% chance to win. Imagine if they were like, Stanley Cup, they have all these injuries, get hurt, land number one overall pick, and what they'd be next year. Like, oh, cool.
Yeah, we'd trot out McKenna with everything else.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That'd be nice. So all that to say, Joe, the chances of the Predators landing the number one overall pick tonight are very low. But it's not impossible. What if it happens? So take everything we've talked about the last couple of days with the GM search. You just mentioned the drafting and developing forwards. Well, if you hit this tonight and you land the number one overall pick, I would presume Gavin McKenna would be the way you'd go at number one overall. And I think he's got a chance to be a pretty darn good NHL player. Now, he's not a center, so I know people get fired up about that, but he's pretty darn good. So I pose this question to you, Joe Rexroad. Let's play this out and say that somehow the odds go in their favor tonight and they do it and they win the NHL draft lottery for the first time in the history of their franchise. How much different is the conversation in your mind, both in the short term and the long term, about this team if it goes that way tonight?
Yeah, I mean, it would be a massive, massive thing, and there'd be like a GM to be named later celebrating.
Yeah.
It's like the people who are hoping to get the GM job would want it even more, would like the idea even more. But, no, I mean, McKenna's not, you know, he's not one of those years where it's like,
it's not Connor McDavid.
Right. Or, you know, some of these years where, I mean, I do remember when the Preds were in the lottery and everybody was all excited about Lafreniere.
Oh, yeah.
Who, you know.
He's turned into an okay player.
Fine. Yeah. But I would say there was definitely more hope about him than the reality so far, right, at the time. So I don't know. How good is a McKenna going to be? I think good. And, you know, just could be a real difference maker if you all of a sudden infuse that talent into some of the young, you know, players they have right now. So it'd be definitely worth celebrating. Again, yeah, it's not like winning a lottery the McDavid year or the Ovechkin year or the Crosby year.
No, but he's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he's a pretty good player. I mean, he immediately becomes your top prospect. Like he unseats Brady Martin for sure that way. But I think more importantly, the idea of you packaging all of that together. We've talked about like the Predators, they've got a deep prospect pool, a good prospect pool, but they're missing like the really, really top guy. Well, he would fill that. And then you'd go from a prospect pool that I think Scott Wheeler's got ranked fifth. I mean, it'd have to vault up into the top probably three at that point. I don't know that it passes San Jose or Chicago, depending on who you view as prospects in those organizations. But it'd be right there with those teams. And I think it changes the math there. Again, the likelihood of this happening tonight is not high. But, I mean, it's not like the chances are zero, right? It's a 3.5% chance. We saw the same odds last year win it. And, look, they have never had any luck in this thing, right? We've talked about that. They've not been in the NHL draft lottery all that much. And, you know, they drafted fourth in 2013. Didn't move up and win that one. This last year, last offseason at this time, they were the third worst team in the league. And they ended up picking fifth. So it was like the worst possible outcome for them. And we'll see if Brady Martin turns out to be a great player. But just mathematically, it was the worst possible outcome for them.
They're owed something
at some point. I'm interested to see what that looks like. Now, the conspiracy theorists are already out there.
Sure.
Because Gavin McKenna is apparently like really distantly related cousins with Connor Bedard in Chicago. Like he said one time, quote, that there are a lot of rumors that they're like related. He said it's like, quote, it's like eighth cousins.
Eighth cousins.
I don't even know what that means. but apparently they're like somewhat distantly related via marriage. So the conspiracy out there is Chicago's winning the draft lottery. It's going to be a family thing out there, and it's going to be McKenna and Bedard playing together for 15 years.
Yeah, Nate says if it was weekend winners, that's his lock. Blackhawks are going to win it. It's because it's been too long since they've won something, Original Six, NHL needs more discussion rather than the NFL, et cetera, et cetera. The conspiracy. And again, if you look at the mechanics of this system that shouldn't be possible, it's an incredible sleight of hand if somehow
– It'd be impressive.
Yeah. If you look at the mechanics of everything and really look at the process, I need someone way smarter than me to tell me how you fix that. But, hey – I don't know. There's amazing. I mean, I've seen Ocean's 11. There's some amazing like jewel thievery out there and stuff that I can't totally understand.
Yeah, absolutely.
So maybe it's just a big conspiracy.
It could be. We'll see what happens on that front. I mean, somebody asking if he would play next year, and then Caleb says it'd be nice to have a guy that's good now, could play right away versus a guy that goes wherever for the next 4 or 5 years. Like, I think he's going to play in the NHL next year. So if you did win it, I think you'd be on your team next year.
I know Preds fans, I've seen some of that. Like, I don't want to wait. It's like, well, yeah, if you get someone good enough, then so you might have Martin and McKenna.
I said earlier in the show on the YouTube chat that the Stamkos, Martin, and McKenna line is going to slap next year. It's going to be good.
So McKenna did have trouble this year. He got in some trouble. It appears, I mean, from all I can tell, he got in a fight.
He did.
I know at first it was like, you know, I guess someone
reportedly
else got hurt.
Somebody was harassing his mother and he punched them in the face.
Yeah. So it seems like that's no big deal.
No, I'm not overly concerned about that. No, I don't know. I don't really want you making a habit of going to the bar and punching people in the face.
Or going to the bar with your mother.
Or yeah, either one. If you're if you get drafted, but you know, when you're talking 17, 18 year old, I've got a little leniency for that.
Yeah. I know a hockey player or two that have gotten into a bar fight.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah.
I mean, my wife's gotten into a bar fight, so, you know.
Yeah, sometimes stuff happens.
Absolutely dropped that chick, too.
The more you learn here on the program.
I'm just telling you, man.
Just telling you what all went down. And I believe he was originally charged for that. I think that has since been dropped. So, it's not going to be that big of a deal. I remember when that happened with Gavin McKinnon. It was like, well, is he going to be a top draft pick anymore? Is he going to slide to like 6 or 7? And I was like, no, he's not sliding to like 6 or 7 because he got in a bar fight in college.
Yeah. If he like, you know, if he like beat up an entire bar or something and sent a bunch of people to the hospital, that might even still enhance his standing, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess unless he just went in with unprompted and started swinging a baseball bat or something.
Yeah,
like
I mean,
that,
if he got into a bar fight and beat up the whole bar, like Crispy would probably apply for general manager and be like, we got to draft this kid. I don't care what we have to do. We got to draft this kid.
He's a new Broad Street bully.
That's right.
New age.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Good luck to the Nashville Predators tonight in the NHL draft lottery. I'm pulling for it. It'd be awesome if they won it, and I think it would be a great day for the franchise.
It would be fun, wouldn't it?
It would be a lot of fun if it happens that way. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5 The Game. It is that time for the Rex Rant, brought to you by Rapid Response Generators. Power when it matters most. Check them out at rapidresponsegenerators.com. Joe, with all that in the background, the floor is yours.
I mean, this is kind of a banger. NCOT B, as much as I made fun of my little sister for all her NCOT B posters, I mean, it's kind of a banger. This has got to be their best song, right?
Probably.
Do you know the name of it?
No, I don't.
Hanging Tough.
I just know the song. I don't know the name of it.
Although, Please Don't Go Girl, also not bad. All right. I for some reason, I really just need to rant a lot about my alma mater. So I'm going to again today. But this is for any large public institution. It's advice on how to and how not to do your graduations. Because last weekend, as everybody knows who listens to the show, we had my oldest, Jack, graduate from Michigan State. And so we went, and on Friday, right after an exam, it could be a separate rant. How are you having someone take an inorganic chemistry exam that ends a half hour before the commencement ceremony? I don't know, but we made it to it. It was at Breslin. It was a nice ceremony. It was 1 hour. So cap and gown, you get in there, you know, thousands of graduates. It was a really nice thing. Governor Gretchen Whitmer, a crush of mine in college, not that I ever talked to her, but, you know, from afar, gave a very nice speech. You know, some other good speeches. A couple of the students gave speeches. It was nice. 1 hour, got out of there. Great. Boom. Okay. But you have your specific college graduation. That's where they call your name, right? So, of course, everybody wants, you know, my mom's in. We got my uncles and family, siblings, friends, and of course you want to see the kids, the young adults walk across the stage, hear their name and all that stuff, right? You have to, okay, well that's when you go with your specific college. And the way it used to be there, and I assume the way it is or has been in other places, is like if it's a psychology degree or whatever it is, you're in a smaller venue and it's about an hour there too. And the, you know, whatever it is, again, this Michigan State's a huge, huge public school. It's like 40,000 undergrads, okay? But, okay, so different majors are different sizes, some of them much smaller than others. And so maybe you can have a ceremony with two or three that are in the same college. This is all in the College of Social Science, right? So it's like psychology, economics, social work. There are a lot of different, social science itself, sociology, a lot of different majors that are all in the quote College of Social Science. But in the past, and what you should do at a university is you should have smaller buildings and you have these ceremonies for the families and the kids get their things and everybody. They have changed there, and I don't know what it is, like at Tennessee or to the other bigger places, but they take the entire College of Social Science and put it in Breslin again. So we got into Breslin Center And I'm talking, you know, 15,000 seats. It's free. You get in. But it filled up so fast as soon as they opened the gate. So Katie, my wife, is running into the thing, looking up because there's bleachers at the very top, but there's green. We had to have seat backs. So we went up a section. Like, oh, let's go. Oh, no, run back out. Go. Okay, go to 207. Oh, run 207. We run up to 207. Run up. Oh, no, it's filling up the green seats. Okay, go back out. 211. Go to 211. Like, we seriously ran around the freaking arena and finally, like, at the very end, ran up and claimed, you know, like 12 seats in the. So this is what it is. So it's about to start. The entire place is as packed as you would have for like a Michigan State Duke basketball game. Tom Izzo comes on the big screen. Hey, everybody. Tom Izzo here. Just want to let you know, everybody here graduating tonight deserves to have people cheer them on. Please stay for the entire ceremony. Okay. So I have to have a disclaimer video from the most popular man on campus to tell people this. 3 hours later,
oh my gosh,
Jack Rexrode walked across the stage, got his, you know, that's a fake diploma, and you get the real one later, but they got this piece of paper, they said his name correctly, they didn't say Rexrode, great, little video, so he's on the big screen, you know, I told him to do something goofy, he didn't do it, Brennan will, just kidding. And 3 hours, there were like 9 people left in Breslin Center. What do you want to go? I'm serious. Yeah, no. Well, that's the thing. Like, first of all, it's so many thousands of people went across the stage that night. No one's cheering for, you know, it's like the specific family, and some people had like a lot of people, you know, so you'd be hear this says, ah, we made a pretty good little amount of noise for Jack. But like, seriously, they have thousands on the floor of the thing, right? Like, one out of every 50 kid went back to their seat and sat there, like, quietly, just alone. Everybody else just went out.
I would have walked out the door.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we said with Jack, because we didn't know when he would be called. But we were like, yeah, as soon as you're done, we're out. Absolutely. Don't do these things. Don't do it like this. It's just not good. How could you ask people to sit there for 3 hours? And then also, you really think people are going to sit there all night after their kid graduates? No. No, they're not going to. So this is like, I know, this is like a very specific thing, but for big, like, you know, Middle Tennessee would be a place that would be a candidate for something like this. Tennessee, because I know Vanderbilt, like, that's small. Like, they have all, it's all one thing. So that's long, but at least it's all like, Jack, back-to-back days put on the cap and gown, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you have one long ceremony, I can live with it. You have two, and then the more, quote, personal one is that long, you're doing it wrong. So at least I caught the guy with the meth lab.
I was going to ask you, is there an update on that situation?
I don't know. I mean, he was arrested, so we're trying to find out. Again, people initially.
Have we discovered how he got in there? That's what I'd love to know.
I'm waiting for some. I know that there's some, you know, some heavy reporting going on in that whole situation. The police aren't saying a ton yet.
Okay.
I will keep us all updated on the Wells Hall meth cook, the Michigan State version.
A lot going on out there at Michigan State.
Yeah, we got a lot going on. I know. So Tennessee, these places, like, take smaller buildings and do an hour ceremony and let everybody cheer and have a, and then everybody go about their day. Three hour. And then when you really want to ask people to stay, come on, man. I mean, it's not realistic. I don't know if it's like a cost cutting thing to have fewer or use fewer buildings I don't know, but that's not how it used to be, and it's got to change.
Alden in Nashville says, I went to Tennessee, walked out of the back door immediately after getting my diploma in 2014, met my family at the river behind Thompson Bowling. He's like, I'm going out the back door. We'll see you guys over by the river.
I bet you weren't the only one. And again, so if it's an hour ceremony.
We're going to Calhoun's.
Yeah, like if it's an hour ceremony, I'd be like, yeah, you know, you can stay, right? I mean, we would have stayed if it was that. That's fine. But this stuff is like, I mean, come on. He says,
you imagine if like your kid was like the third person to walk across the stage, and you were like, yeah, we're going to stay here the whole time. 3 hours.
I need to, dude, I'll find, so people took some pictures of the day before it was the Comm Arts, which was, again, journalism, marketing, advertising, and like there were like three kids, and I'm like, I feel so bad. People are like, this is so sad. I'm like, you know what's sad is that those kids sat the whole time.
Yeah.
They should have left too. I'm not sad that all the people left. I'm sad for the people who stayed.
Yeah. Keith says, 3 hours later, your rant finally finishes. Boom. Roasted.
I was just building up the excitement, Keith. You got to build it up, man.
Man. Tell you what. Graduation. I've sat through some graduations. I think the longest I've ever sat there is about an hour. Three. I don't even know if it was my kid, I'd sit through it. But, all right, I'll see you after. Congrats. No, way to go.
I know. I thought about it. Like, hey, man, just send me some video.
Yeah.
I mean, it was streaming. We had other family members who had, like, screenshots of the stream. Texture says, we just learned things. We need the Broadway bullies. Team Mom is Rex Rhodes' wife. Who would win in a fight, Rex Rhodes' wife or Paul Kaharsky?
Oh, I know the answer to that.
Yeah, I don't think it would be a particularly close or very long fight there. Yeah. The right crosses.
Would not be Kuharsky.
Yeah, the right cross is severe.
615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. We will get into the Titans and the AFC South coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch the chase for the cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.